The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is of a Father's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only begotten Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. It may seem strange to you that I have not read a gospel passage that describes the birth of our Lord at Bethlehem, but instead the prologue to the Gospel of St. John. But this is a very, very ancient practice of the Church. The birth of Jesus was celebrated in the Roman Church on the 25th of December, even during the time of persecutions. We have evidence that December 25th was celebrated in Rome no later than the year 200. And the Church, very early on, realized that the mystery of Christ coming down to earth, of God becoming man, was something so great, so immense, that it couldn't be celebrated or praised in simply one Mass. So in fact, on Christmas Day, there are three different Masses that have been composed, and they're used every year. There are special prayers for the Mass at midnight, other prayers used early in the morning, called the Mass at dawn, or the Mass of the Shepherds, and the Mass during the day is the one that we're using. The first Mass speaks about the light of Christ coming in the dark night. Not simply the light of the Bethlehem star, but the light of God's own Son come down to earth. Christmas is something so near to us, so dear to us, so familiar and personal with our memories, that we risk forgetting the greatness of the mystery of God become man, of the Almighty stooping down low. And so the midnight Mass speaks of the gift of light, light to enlighten us, so that God, through his Son, reveals the truth about himself, the merciful face of God, and the truth about us. He tells us, teaches us, who we really are, what our human nature is meant to be, who we were created to be. And so the falsehoods and the confusions of human sinfulness are stripped away. The second Mass, early in the morning, commemorates the visit of the shepherds to the manger and their wonder and awe at being caught up in this greatest of all events, That Mass emphasizes Christ coming to the poor and the dejected, to those who are in need of his gifts and his richness. For he strips himself of the glory of heaven and comes down to earth and is born in poverty in order that we might be rich. He takes on a human life with all of its limitations so that he might offer that life on the cross and you and I might have a boundless, everlasting life in paradise. He takes upon himself all human suffering so that every tear might be dried and wiped away. And all of that can only be understood and appreciated with Mary. So the Shepherd's Mass speaks of Our Lady pondering all these things in her heart, turning them over in her mind. For she is the one who understands best and most, and who leads us to the best and the deepest understanding. The third Mass now takes on the cosmic dimension of who Christ is for the whole universe. He is the one by whom God the Father has created all things, and he has given to us a human nature according to the most perfect human nature that it will be shared by his Son. So Christ is the prototype in advance of what all human beings, all men and women, are meant to be like in God's plan. And when he comes to the earth, it is to renew our nature, to heal us, to make us whole, and to place us in the end in his Father's house in the kingdom of heaven. The early fathers of the church, our first great teachers and preachers and writers, were fascinated with the birth of Jesus at Bethlehem. They didn't have all of the sentiments and lights and decorations that we have, the associations that we have with Christmas. But they had a profound sense of how important it is. St. Ambrose, who died in the year 397, the man who baptized St. Augustine and brought him into the church, said in one of his sermons, "Jesus was a baby and a child so that you may be perfect men and women. He was wrapped in binding, swaddling cloths so that you might be freed from the snares and the shroud of death. He was in a manger so that you may approach the altar. He was on earth so that you may walk in the stars. He had no other place in the inn so that you may have many mansions in the heavens. He, being rich, became poor for your sakes so that through his poverty you might be made rich. So his poverty is our inheritance, and his weakness our virtue. He chose to lack for himself so that he might abound for all." Those words are poetic, but they're necessary for us to think of, to remind ourselves of, when we stand before the manger. We're all attracted to the manger. We're all attracted to the sound of that newborn and to the beauty that we see reflected there in the faces of Mary and Joseph. All newborn babies are irresistible and adorable. When they get a little older, things change. But we're fascinated by the baby in his mother's arms, and that, of course, was the genius of God. He came to conquer our hearts, not with armies of angels and vengeful and mighty spirits. He came to conquer our hearts as a baby. Because when a baby enters a household, when a baby enters our hearts and our arms, everything changes. Everything changes. And that lesson holds true for our salvation, as well as in the ways of family life. We look then to the manger, and we see the little one in his cradle looking up into the face of his mother. Now, one of the fascinating things that medical science can teach us that has a dimension here for our faith is that when a baby is born, even babies that are perfectly healthy, can't really see in a meaningful way. Their eyes cannot yet focus. It takes 10 days to 2 weeks for a baby to be able to see. And doctors tell us that the first thing that a child sees is his mother's face. The first distance that a baby is able to focus is the distance from his mother's breast to her face. So roughly about 12 inches. So the first sight that the baby Jesus saw was the face of his mother, the Immaculate Conception, the all-pure and all-perfect human woman whom God chose to be the mother of his son. And in looking at his mother, Jesus sees all of us and loves us as we should be. He loves us in and through his mother, whom he will give us at the foot of the cross to be our mother, to be our teacher, to be our guide. So when we reflect upon the meaning of the crib, we have to do so in and with and through Mary. For only she can introduce us to the deep secrets of her child. As we come to Mass today, then, and as we gather later with our families and friends to celebrate this day, let us ask our Lord to grant us not only the gifts of love and health and happiness in the year ahead, but also, and most especially, the gift of faith. The Christmas lights that we enjoy for a few days and then pack up and put away are symbols of the true light, which is Christ. And his light is meant to be burning within our hearts, within our minds, every day of the year, so that we have the light of understanding, so that we have the clarity to make good and true and faithful choices, so that we can remain loyal to him and loyal to one another, strong in the grace that he gives to us, the life that he shares with us, the sacrifice by which he pours himself out for us. So in this Mass, then, as we pray for ourselves and all whom we love, let us ask for these great gifts, and let us not limit our prayers only to those whom we know and cherish, but to all men and women for whom Christ came. And let us pray especially for those who are most in need of his mercy, most in need of his healing, most in need of his presence. For when we make such prayers, the Lord teaches us that he wishes our cooperation, our participation in that work of making him known. For through our lives, we are meant to lift up our neighbor day after day, moment after moment, year after year. For that is the way that we truly come to everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.